Paul Sir joins us now from Basketball Alberta, the executive director. Paul, how are you?
Doing well, Jason. Good to talk to you.
I want to get to the women's national team in a sec, but I want to get your thoughts, first of all, on the NBA. I know you're a huge NBA guy, of course, playing pro basketball in Europe for as many years as you did. Have you ever seen a stretch of buzzer beaters like we have recently in the NBA?
Never seen a stretch like that, especially when two are the off-glass bankers at the buzzer. I've never – two in a row like that, Jason. That's unbelievable. LeBron's shot was legit. But Rose and Pierce, that was something to see two game winners like that.
Well, you know, the Pierce one with all sorts of traffic and, you know, the bank shot, I don't know if he, as he said, he goes, I called game, not the glass. I'll say one thing,
line,
you know,
it?
About Paul Pierce, confidence matters for players, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, he missed a game tying three last night, but he was as confident missing the shot as he was making it. And, the way he conducts himself and carries himself, what an asset for a young team to have. A guy who's won it and then can step out there, wants to take the shot, and will make the shot and believes every shot's going in. Yeah, he's something special.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame guy. He's not in the Kobe Bryant or that category, but man, he is a guy who has made some big shots in his career. LeBron James, of course, with a huge one from an area on the floor that he normally doesn't shoot from.
Yeah, he really doesn't. And you know, the whole controversy swirling around him overriding his coach's out of bounds call, having him throw the ball in, very simple play. I was as shocked. It was a phenomenal shot. Like you said, Jason, that's not where LeBron typically shoots from. I don't know if I've ever seen him really hit a corner three before, but wanted the ball again, was contested nicely by Butler. Really shocked that Gibson stayed on the passer from the baseline rather than stepping out to try to get another hand up on LeBron, but sure made for great drama.
Which team do you think is the best team left in the NBA playoffs?
That's a great question. Golden State, I thought their hopes were fading, but they had a very decisive win last night. But if I had to pick somebody today, Jason, I think I'd pick the Clippers. They seem to be the most balanced team. Chris Paul, even though he's injured, has such court presence and savvy. And it is tremendously effective, but the emergence of Blake Griffin as a dominant player in other areas other than just his brute force, which he was known for before, I think Doc Rivers is next to Popovich, the best coach in the game. So I would have to go with the Clippers.
Well, especially if Paul gets healthy, and they look very good. It's kind of, people have waited for the Clippers. You know, this was a team that's been around for a few years, expecting to make that breakthrough, and you wonder how their psyche changed after they defeated the Spurs.
Talk about a confidence builder to beat the defending champs in dramatic fashion like they did, and to execute the way they did throughout the whole series against the Spurs and never losing sight of their end goal, plus having that mature leadership like Chris Paul brings to them, and now seeing Blake Griffin not just becoming a better all-around player, but such a good passer and making his teammates better, the way that Doc Rivers utilizes Redick's shooting ability. I just think they have so many weapons that right now, if I had to pick a favorite, I would go with them. But then you have the unpredictability and the magic that the Golden State Warriors have that make them on a given night so deadly and explosive. If it indeed ends up that way, that will be a heck of a series to watch. But can't count Memphis out either, because they, for two games, really had Golden State's number.
Paul Sir joins us from Basketball Alberta, of course, a former pro playing in Europe. Paul, we talk a lot about, you know, the European influence in the NBA, the big men shooting from the outside, Dirk Nowitzki, and it's really kind of gone down from there. But you look at the Toronto Raptors, and the one criticism of that team was that when the games got tougher, which they do in the playoffs, they just didn't have the guys to play that way. Is that what you see? Like, do they need a major overhaul? Is it attitude change? Or do they just not have enough guys who can play, you know, the tough style of basketball that happens in the playoffs?
I think you've hit on a couple of different points, Jason, that are going to be very interesting to see what the Raptors do in the off season. They need a couple more players. There's no doubt about it. What you said is absolutely true. They really didn't have a player as good as DeRozan is, as good as Lowry was in the first half of the season. And again, they were a tale of two halves of the season. They were a completely different team in the second half. But I would say, though, even more than the players, what I question is the way their players are utilized, that isolation style that they play. And watching Chicago right now, it's the same thing. Chicago and Toronto go on incredible droughts because they don't move the ball like the Spurs do, like the Clippers do, like the Hawks do. They freeze the ball and put it in one player's hands and wait for that player to make something happen. And as you said, Jason, in playoff basketball, teams know your tendencies, and they're going to take everything that you're comfortable doing away from you. So now you've got to rely on a whole team as opposed to just individuals. So they definitely need a couple of players, but I think they have to get back into ball movement as opposed to the isolation one-on-one style of play. I don't see that being a championship style anymore. I think Golden State, San Antonio, and the other teams I mentioned are demonstrating that a more complete team game where you utilize all of your strengths as opposed to just focusing on one or two players to make something happen. I think that finally is going the way it deserves, and that's out the door. It needs to be more of a team game instead of just one-on-one.
It's interesting you bring up that concept because a lot of people felt like, and you know, I've had NCAA coaches on who feel like that's the one issue, is that it's become a little too individual. Has that, you know, and the one thing they talked about was Canadian players, the reason they've recruited more of them because they are more willing to play in the team facet. Have you noticed that even at the Basketball Alberta level? Is there a conscious decision that it's become more of a team game rather than just one-on-one?
Well, I'd say I'm of two minds with it right now, Jason. There's a lot of criticism in the U.S. about the effect of AAU basketball creating too many individuals, and players aren't focusing enough on skills and on team play. And I think some of that has transferred and is, and I'll put it this way, is transferring up into Canada, that it's becoming too individual as opposed to more team-centered. I think the reputation that Canadians are nice people is part of it, and they go down and they're more compliant. When I was out at the BioSteel All-Star Game a few weeks ago for the high school kids, I was impressed by how, this is what I saw. Some of the players were very team-oriented. Others were very individual. So I really see sort of a mixed bag right now. But as you point out, Jason, the more players and the people that influence them, their coaches, their trainers, influence players to become better teammates and be willing to share the ball, the better they're going to be as players and the better their team's going to become. And I think there's so many great examples right now, both on the team level, again, mentioning the Spurs, and on the individual level, someone like LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James is maybe the greatest team player of all time in the NBA in terms of being able to score, pass, rebound, and play be a complete player in all aspects of the game. So I don't know that I see a conscious effort on the part of Canadians. I really think it depends on the system that they play in, but certainly we've seen the impact that Canadians are having at the NCAA level, and now we're the country with the second most players in the NBA behind the United States. So basketball in Canada certainly has gained a reputation of producing better players.
Let's talk about Team Canada coming to the big reception and just, you know, how big of a deal this is for basketball locally.
I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for local basketball, male or female, whoever. If you like the game, you have to go watch this team play. They are loaded this year with the best talent that they've ever had, Jason. They've brought in a couple of new players that are available. One, Natalie Achamwa, who was a star at Notre Dame a year ago, one of the top draft picks in the WNBA, but had torn her knee up a year ago in the NCAA tournament, is back. And they regard her as going to be a WNBA superstar. We've got Kia Nurse, who was part of the winning NCAA championship team at Connecticut. And then a lot of returning players. They've got size. We've got three Edmontonians, the Plouffe sisters from Harry Ainley, Adut Bogak, who was all ACAC and an honorable mention All-American from O'Leary High School. It's going to be something quite special. And in terms of the ability to impact and influence young people and inspire young people who love the game of basketball, this is a great opportunity for them.
The women's game has definitely grown, and I think because it had more room to grow, obviously, overall than the men's game recently. But, you know, the women's team is more competitive on a global basis than the men's team. How long do you think before the men's team becomes, you know, like even an Olympic team?
Well, I think it could be as early as next year. They certainly will have the talent. But the talent will be young, and it will have to gain some seasoning and experience on the international level, because the international game is very different from the NCAA and the NBA game. So it'll be real interesting to see how the team competes in Mexico City this year, Jason. I am certainly, like everybody, am hopeful that they're going to go down there and start to find their legs and be able to really compete on the international scene. But beyond that, I mean, Krzyzewski, has told people before, watch out for Canada in 2020. He expects them to be on the podium in 2020 because he, along with a lot of people on the American basketball scene, think Canada has an unbelievable talent pool. So let's keep our fingers crossed that they can qualify for Rio this year. And if not, they'll have a chance again next year to qualify. But I would expect to see them in the Olympics again, in the Olympics this year, or in 2016 rather, and be much, much more competitive as they gain experience and depth over the next 4 years for the 2020 Olympics.
What is going to be the strength of Canada's women's team?
It's a real interesting combination. And I think what's exciting about this year is they'll be probably as athletic or more athletic than they've ever been, with a tremendous basketball IQ that starts at the coaching level. Lisa Tomitis and Shawnee Harley are phenomenal coaches. They are phenomenal teachers of the game, motivators, and they really have the ability to get players to buy into their roles. But then on the team, they've got size, they've got length, and they have experience. They have senior leadership, players that have played for a long time, and tremendous young, talented athletes that are coming into their system as well. So they have a real nice blend of experience and youth and talent. So they can shoot the ball, they can get to the rim better than I think they've ever been able to in the past, and they really buy into Lisa and Shawnee's teaching. So they're a disciplined team. They play really well together. So I think this is the strongest team they've fielded, and with the coaching they have and the experience they have, Jason, I really think they have the full package this year.
And Paul, the reception I know is tomorrow at City Hall. When is the first opportunity for fans to watch them play a game?
The next day. The play a game.
Yeah.
There will be no exhibition games in Edmonton. There will be practices, and they will be scrimmaging local college teams. And by that, I mean local men's college teams. And what I would say would be go on the Canada Basketball website or on the Basketball Alberta website, and we'll be posting their practices. That'll be open to the public. So, but in terms of actual exhibition games this year in Edmonton, there won't be any. The first games will be in August when the FIBA tournament starts August 9th to the 16th. But there will be ample opportunity for anybody to go watch and practice and to scrimmage.
Paul, always great to talk basketball with you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jason. Take care.